Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the PW Torch Livecast. I am Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter since 1987, editor of PWTorch.com, MMATorch.com, and the newly relaunched PWPodcast.com, which chronicles in written format the growing, burgeoning wrestling personality-hosted podcast world. You can keep up on What everybody's saying on podcasts over at pwpodcast.com. So check that out. That's mobile-friendly and desktop-friendly. Tons of compelling quotes about today's scene and some behind-the-scenes stories that will fill in some gaps on why things happened or surprise you with things that you never knew happened. So check it out, pwpodcast.com. It is Wednesday, May 31st, 2017. This is the midweek flagship edition of the PW Torch Livecast. We're here Monday through Friday with six different shows, and then Sundays after major pay-per-views. This Sunday, no exception, Extreme Rules, Pat McNeil and Greg Parks have you covered. As soon as Extreme Rules goes off the air, you can listen live and participate with phone calls at pwtorchlivecast.com, or catch the show on demand afterwards on iTunes and any popular podcast app on your iPhone or Android device. You can also stream the shows or download them directly from our homepage for this show, pwtorchlivecast.com. Tomorrow, Interview Thursday, Just Incredible joins me, PJ Polacco. We will talk about Extreme Rules and gimmick matches and extreme matches in general, which he has a lot of experience in. We'll talk about which matches he dreaded, if any, which ones he liked, and how wrestlers prepared differently for a match that isn't fought under traditional rules. And we'll also, of course, parlay that into previewing this Sunday's pay-per-view, which I'll be doing today also. And Friday, Bruce Mitchell and Rich Fan take over for Primetime Friday at 7 Eastern. And they'll talk about general topics from the whole week and also preview Extreme Rules. Between those two shows, it'll be Thursday night's episode of the Livecast right after Impact goes off the air. Mike McMahon and Andrew Socek have you covered when it comes to Impact Wrestling. So if you watch Impact, you can participate in the show and talk about it right after it goes off the air. Just log on to pwtorchlivecast.com after Impact ends on Pop TV. Or, of course, as always with all shows, you can listen on demand at a later time. But first things first, this is a midweek flagship, and I'm happy to welcome back to the program Johnny Fairplay. It has been a while since Johnny's been on the show. Johnny, welcome back to PW Torch Livecast.
Hey, Wade. Great to be back.
And congratulations are in order on the birth of your daughter.
Yeah, I make pretty little girls. That's my calling in life, I think.
I think that's what everyone would have guessed.
Two for two.
Everybody would have guessed that, right?
Yeah, right.
There's a pretty little girl maker.
Yeah.
Talk about her a little bit. What's her name and what's fatherhood like again? Second time around.
Sure. So her name's Madeline Jane. This one was not named after a wrestler. I tried for Harper and would have been, a nod to Luke Harper. But, maybe on my third, I'll work at another wrestling reference. So she's great. She was born 7 pounds, 10 ounces. We're battling a little bit of jaundice, so hopefully we're done with our levels. We're going up. They went down, and they went up again yesterday. So I think we're on the road to recovery. So, but you know, kind of typical. I think, you know, it could be a lot worse.
So. And by the way, if anybody while we're going about the show today wants to ask questions about Survivor or reality TV, you're certainly welcome to call in too. Because if you're wondering, you know, who's this Johnny Fairplay guy? If you're a newer listener and it rings a bell. It is, yes, Johnny Fairplay, also of Survivor fame. So if you have any questions on that, you know, we'll field. It's the midweek flagship. We don't have to stick to a single topic. It doesn't even have to be pro wrestling. Although I would say, Johnny, reality TV and pro wrestling share some things in common. Where are you on my my stance that people... I'm hearing quite a bit of feedback, by the way, Johnny. Like, rustling against the mouthpiece or something. So I don't know if you can adjust that at all with a headset or phone.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me hold on. Let's see. Hold on. Is this better?
Yeah, that is better.
Okay, yeah, let's just, start this way.
There was just some rustling that kept going on. Yeah, so where are you on social media? My very short take on it is...
I know your stance.
Well, yeah, if you are a pro wrestler and you portray a certain character, don't go out of your way on social media. It doesn't mean you have to kayfabe people and go out of your way to kayfabe people. Don't go out of your way in a contemporaryist fashion while you're trying to get over a certain way, putting stuff out there on social media that completely contradicts who you are on television or how you feel about people that you are feuding with or even sharing the roster with who go, in a different direction than you. And I just don't think there's anything to be gained and nothing to be lost by following along on those lines. So there's my short recap. You've been part of reality television, and you know how different things can be manipulated to isolate certain personality traits for the benefit of the show that the editing has done. People on reality TV don't always like that, and sometimes they speak out against it, going, hey, they edited, I'm not really that bad guy. I think in pro wrestling, your goal is to not contradict how you're being portrayed on TV, because you're being portrayed on TV to make money, and that's your job, and be a professional, and don't contradict it. So what's your take on that?
I think Matt Hardy has figured out the perfect barometer. On Twitter, he stays in character to whatever his wrestling character is. You know, if he's Big Money Matt, if he's Broken Matt, whatever, like that. He never breaks character on Twitter. And then on Facebook, he only allows friends, and he's Matt Hardy. And that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, it is that simple, isn't it?
I mean, I think it's simple.
Yeah.
I mean, with me, it's tricky with me. I mean, like, you know, I'm the bad guy. I'm evil. That hasn't changed. I still, you know, I embrace that. You know, I say mean things, and I like being mean. You know, however, I'm 6 months sober. I don't smoke cigarettes. I don't do drugs. I run every other day. I usually run about 3 to 10 miles every other day. And I got baptized on Easter, but you know, I'm still a heel, I think. So I mean, I guess, you know, if you're looking at my social media, you know, you're seeing things on, you know, I'm doing charity events, you know, for Hearts Reality for you know, kids that might not make it, you know, and all this stuff. But you know, still, I still like the bad guys, and I still believe in cheating, lying, and whatever to get ahead. So I mean, I don't know. So with my social media, you might think like, hey, he's blurring the lines. It's like, no, this is me. I'm all these things. And you know, if I were to play Survivor again, I'm going to come in and do exactly that. You know, yes, I've been baptized. You know, now I don't drink. And yes, I'm going to screw you out of any opportunity of $1 million.
It's a different kind of issue now with the audio, Johnny, but you're going in and out. You're muffled. It just seems like the mic isn't just in one spot, and you're not in one spot, but it could be the connection, too.
I think it's – let me call you right – because I'm not moving, so let me call you right back.
Yeah, something's up. All right, call me right back.
Okay.
All right. Well, we'll take this opportunity to talk about and set the stage for one big topic on today's program, which is Extreme Rules. Got 6 matches advertised for Sunday's event, including Roman Reigns, Finn Balor, Seth Rollins, Bray Wyatt, and Samoa Joe in a 5-way match. And the winner of that has the honor of being able to fight Brock Lesnar. So that is I think you could add a 6th member to that match and have them just leap out of the ring at the beginning to not have to fight Brock Lesnar, to put Brock Lesnar over. But we have that as a headline on Sunday. Johnny, I've talked for the last couple of weeks since this match was announced and they developed it on television about the pros and cons of each guy potentially winning, and then trying to combine that with clues on television of who's winning. Do you have a sense right now of who you, one or two or three favorites for that match?
I think you're right on the money. I don't know if you've wavered in the last day or so. I think it's Bray Wyatt. I think this is kind of a you know, unimportant pay-per-view, and why waste the, you know, the eventual showdown between Samoa Joe, you know, Finn Balor, any of those. I think the whole building up of Finn Balor was kind of a red herring, and also just building up Finn Balor for a later date. But I think it's just a blow-off pay-per-view, and we're getting a blow-off match against Bray Wyatt, and he loses like he does in every pay-per-view.
And he'll still just be Bray Wyatt, spewing platitudes and spooky words to build up his next feud with whomever comes next. I'm still there. I haven't wavered. I would, you know, I think Bray and it might be biased too, because I think Bray makes the most sense. You know, I think that they want to do something more with Roman Reigns at a later time on a major pay-per-view, obviously with Brock. So I think they'll, one way or the other, he won't win. And Finn Balor, I just think you don't want to feed him to Brock this early since his return, because you need Brock to stay strong until Roman beats him. So you
And Finn needs to fatten up.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we'll see. I mean, I think that's kind of
he's little. I took Bruce Saturday to the house show, and Finn, I mean, I love Finn Balor. I think he's great. You know, I've heard people call in say I don't get it. You know, what am I missing? He is a little guy. I mean, it's not a diss. I mean, yeah. he wasn't born, you know, 6 foot whatever, 200 and whatever. I mean, he's small, and he's a lot smaller than he was before the injury. And I think before you put him in the ring with Brock Lesnar, you put some meat on, you know, do a cycle. I mean, I'm not repeating that, but, you know, I think there needs to be some more meat on the bone.
And then Seth Rollins, I just don't think he's a particular – I mean, I think you can get away with Seth, because I don't think they're trying to heat him up to be the top guy they build around. And so he could go in and give a spirited performance but lose and look tough in the process. And I don't think that's the end of the world if they go that route. I just haven't seen any television to indicate, you know, anything on TV to indicate that's what they're prepping fans to be happy to see, you know, to want to see. Seems like he's in a different category right now. And then that just leaves Samoa Joe. And with Joe, I mean, they could have him go out there, have a competitive match, and lose, but then you're giving away something that I think if you wait 6-9 months, you can build a lot of anticipation for, or a year and a half, depending on how long, if Brock is around long enough to have a full-fledged match with Joe. But I think you want to build up Joe as a badass and not just kind of another guy in the top mix first, and they just haven't quite done that. So I think if you go with Joe Lesnar this soon, you're giving up on what that match could be down the line. Now, they may not look at Joe that way, but I also just haven't seen enough of Joe setting his sights on Brock in the way that Bray has kind of talked about Brock and been the devious one who's twice turned on Joe, too. I haven't seen hints of it. So to me, yeah, I think we're both on the same page. It makes the most sense, and everything seems to be pointing that direction. And I think you're right. The Heyman thing was a bit of a red herring and a little bit of a way for Paul to say, hey, I like this Balor guy. In the context of adding some intrigue to the Fatal 5-Way, let me try to get fans believing that he's an option, even if he's not.
Yeah, and I also think if we see, you know, maybe around SummerSlam or even after, if we see a big, like, fireball stunt that they use, like, I think they were moving towards, it's not, you know, inside information or me, you know, just being this miraculous, you know, soothsayer. I think that they were building towards Brock and Strowman, and if Great Balls of Fire was going to be that match, or if the culmination of Strowman and Roman Reigns is going to be Great Balls of Fire, I think it was. I mean, it makes no sense to name it Great Balls of Fire, other than the fact I think they were going to have a big fireball stunt bump that they were working towards, and I'm anxiously looking forward to seeing a great big fireball stunt bump, not on that pay-per-view, but soon afterwards, and we'll be like, oh, that's why they went with that.
Although, how dumb would it be to name a pay-per-view after something that, in a storyline sense, they would have had no idea was going to happen?
Well, I know. That's the beauty of the WWE, Wade. It's amazing that worked out that way.
Yes, exactly. All right, we talked about the main event of Extreme Rules. When we come back from our first break, we will talk about the rest of the show and preview that, and then we'll also take some phone calls. If you want to get in line on the phone banks, the number is 515-605-9345. 515-605-9345. 1-800-345. By the way, we still have our sale going on, our VIP sale. So if you want to get on board as a VIP member, it's our first sale that we launched since January. So we don't do this very often. And it's your chance to get in for just $1. That's $9. That's 90% off our regular monthly rate to get around 15 VIP exclusive podcasts per week. That's 15 podcasts per week as part of our VIP network of podcasts, including the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline, the Fix with Todd Martin, the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, the Wayback Playback, the East Coast Cast VIP Show, Sean Radican's new WWE Future Past that I've talked a lot about, our retro radio shows, our post pay-per-view roundtables, which are the most popular feature of our VIP podcast lineup, and more that I'm missing as I just kind of randomly announce the different shows that we do every week or on a regular basis. And you also get ad-free access to our website, our mobile site, and our desktop site. And, oh yes, over 1,500 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter dating back to the late 1980s. And you can follow along our contemporaneous coverage of what we thought of things as they happened. We wrote about them as they happened. You can see what we thought about the Rise of Steve Austin, the Raw Nitro battle before the first episode ever took place, the early rise of John Cena, what was going on with that and how we reacted to it. You can look at star ratings of all the main events of not just WrestleManias, but all WWF, WCW, ECW pay-per-views, and our Torch Talk series. Interviews, in-depth insider interviews with wrestlers dating back to the late 1980s before there were wrestler-hosted podcasts or even wrestling books or shoot tapes, there were Torch Talks. And you can lose yourself for a whole summer just catching up on our history of those. So if you haven't been a VIP member before, check it out. If you have, dive back in and see what's new. Depending on how long you've been away, there's a lot of new things. We're always listening to our members and using our resources that come from our subscribers to build a better website with more features, both in audio and our archives and exclusive articles every week, columns from the staff, the new newsletter every week. So anyway, go check it out, pwtorch.com/govip. That'll give you a little written overview of what comes with the membership. Also, at the bottom of that page are testimonials from VIP members. So you can kind of, you don't have to take it from me. You can take it from them, our enthusiastic endorsements of our members. And then click on the form to sign up and use a promo code to get that 90% off. Don't forget to do that. You can get $9 off a $10 subscription or take $9 off with that coupon code, the 3-month or 1-year subscription. And the coupon code for that is simple, $SALE17. $SALE17, all one word, all lowercase, $SALE17, numeral 17, $SALE17. Check it out. We'd love to have you as a VIP member. And if you have any questions when you sign up, you can email me or jump to our VIP tips page. We have a link at the top of our, right under our logo near the top of the page for our VIP tips page. But it's pwtorchvip.com/VIP tips. pwtorchvip.com/VIP tips. It'll walk you through everything, including that home screen button that acts like an app, an ad-free app that gives you access to everything we put up throughout the week on your smartphone. And we walk you through our recommended podcast apps for Android and iPhone and walk you through any steps that are needed to verify that you are a valid VIP member in order to download those podcasts. And a walkthrough how to find our archives. It's not too tough. Year-by-year directories of our newsletters. It's fun just flipping through the covers and seeing the headlines each week, week after week over for nearly 30 years of our publishing the newsletter. So check it out. That is $SALE17 is the coupon code over at pwtorch.com/govip. All right. We are back, and Johnny Fairplay is my guest co-host on today's midweek flagship, Just Incredible Tomorrow. Yesterday, Mike Chiari from Ring Rust Radio is my co-host. We talked exclusively about SmackDown. And Monday night, longtime Pro Wrestling Torch columnist Pat McNeil was my guest co-host, and we spoke about Raw. So catch up on shows if you missed any of them so far. Johnny, back to the Extreme Rules lineup. Intercontinental Championship is at stake. Miz has, I think, done a great job putting over the value of the Intercontinental title. He talks about boosting the value. I thought he was actually pretty funny in the way that he has described Dean Ambrose as bringing the prestige down. They have added a stipulation to this one, which is title can change hands on a disqualification. I'm hearing a lot of wind or breathing again into the mic, Johnny. I don't know if you can isolate that again.
Wind. I'm outside. I got it.
Okay. Yep.
It's wind. I got it.
Okay, cool. Thanks. Yep. So Dean Ambrose versus Miz. Do you expect the title to go back around the waist of the Miz? And I want to hear your thoughts in general, because you've had opinions on Miz over the years. What do you think of the career comeback he's had as a character and as a contributor, as a veteran of the roster now, over the last year or two? Your thoughts on what Miz has done?
I was at the SmackDown house show the week before WrestleMania, and I got a chance to talk with Miz backstage there, and he was just like, I love it here on SmackDown. I hope I don't trade brands. This is perfect. This is really cool. that worked out great.
Don't say that.
And
don't
those remarks, like, it's... Oh, well, it was crazy, because, like, you know, with AJ Styles, when AJ was a heel, you know, despite being a heel, the fans, like, he's so, quote-unquote, phenomenal, is that, you know, people cheer him, and they love him, and they didn't care that he's a bad guy. They're just like, we're going to cheer this guy. And I think Miz, I think that he's gained somehow, like, he's one of the few wrestlers that's gained respect from the fans in that they do like him, they do appreciate him. However, they know his job is to be a heel, I think out of respect, they boo him because that's what you're supposed to do. And I also think there's plenty of people that just don't like him, and then he gets the boos there. So I think for that, I mean, I just love it. And I think he was on a path on SmackDown to be the next world champion, which would have been great. And I don't think that's the case on Raw, but his new gig is telling wrestlers what Vince McMahon really thinks about them during Miz TV is a pretty good gig too, right?
Right.
We have Dean Ambrose is like, hey, you don't understand branding. You really phoned it in. You're not what we're looking for. So yeah, no, I think he just, you know, Miz just talks to Vince and comes out there is like, yeah, here's what Vince thinks next. And then, you know, I take a little bump and then we, you know, go to commercials. Great.
What do you think about Dean Ambrose? Do you think there's some truth to any of the things that Miz says about him, and are those truths even negatives?
I don't know. He's not what I'm looking for in a wrestling character. So, and I mean, he reminds me like a drunk dad. I mean, he just comes up there. He's like Philo Beto in the old Any Which Way But Loose movies. It's just like, so, and he's not old, so it's like, so I don't know. I like the guy. Like, I hung out with John Moxley back in Dragon Gate, and he was a really cool guy, and we got along. And so, but I just don't like the Dean Ambrose character. I see Miz winning the Intercontinental Belt and giving it the quote unquote prestige that I think that they're looking to attribute to the Intercontinental title.
Do you think there's a way to rehab Dean Ambrose back to the potential people thought he had in the Shield? Or do you think just Dean has at this point a level of contentment with being a upper card role player with WWE? And that upper card role pays enough that he is content, just kind of showing up, doing his thing, not stressing about it, being chill, and having a career that way. And do you kind of sense maybe that's what we're going to get, and they're not going to be able to talk Dean anymore because financially he's going to end up just fine, even if that's all that happens?
I think that's always, I don't know. I mean, we're not pals. I don't talk to him. It seems like that's all he's looking for. And that's, you know, cool for him if that's all he wants.
Then we have the Hardys against Sheamus and Cesaro. They put this in a cage because it's Extreme Rules. Your thoughts on the Hardys comeback and whether the Hardys are a nostalgia act or an edgy act that fans get, even though they Impact Wrestling is so mean, they won't let them actually go all out with it. Your take on the Hardys comeback and their match Sunday against Sheamus and Cesaro?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, I took Bruce to the Raw House show this past Saturday night at the Greensboro Coliseum, and we went to get gourmet hot dogs prior to the show, and we knew we might run a little late, and we were worried about missing Apollo Crews versus whoever, possibly a Curt Hawkins type, you know, no worries at all. So we get there, the show, it started 20 minutes prior, and we walk in, and lo and behold, it's Apollo Crews versus Curt Hawkins. And I was like, wow, how long has this match been going on? And the guy beside us goes, it just started. I was like, oh, was there a match before? They're like, yeah. It was just the Hardy Boys versus Big Cass and Enzo Amore and Sheamus and Cesaro in a three-way match, and it was great. I was like, oh, you're killing me. So that sucked. So now, right now, I think they're a nostalgia act. I think it's working about as good as a nostalgia act can work. There's fear on my end that this could turn Dudley style really quickly. If what I hope happens, then the Hardys will lose to Sheamus and Cesaro is fine, whoever, or the Revival once they're through with possibly Enzo and Big Cass. But once the Hardys lose and Matt becomes broken, I think we could – then it transitions from a nostalgia act to something new and fresh. And that's what Matt's been doing, you know, for the past, 5 years now. It's just constantly reinventing himself. So if that transpires, great. If not, you know, I don't need to see, you know, Road Dogg and Billy Gunn, you know, come out and say the same lines. I don't need the Hardys come out and do the almost guns to their head and do the same stuff. It's just me.
So. Yep. All right, and then Alexa Bliss, Bailey, Candlestick on a Pole match. What have you thought of the rise of Alexa Bliss? Good buzz for her, but a real disappointing run so far on the main roster for Bayley.
Yeah. Well, Alexa Bliss, she's my MVP of the past year. I mean, I think just her on-camera presence is just so strong. She knows her character. I mean, they gave her the biggest stinker of a segment that I've seen in probably 3 years on television. And I mean, there's guys and girls that probably would have just crumbled during that, like that This Is Your Life. I mean, it was so bad. I mean, I could see a professional wrestler, sports entertainer or whatever. This is so bad. The crowd has turned. There's no safe, just leaving the ring. And she was just like, I'm all in. This isn't bothering. And so, you know, as bad as that was, I think that showed just how amazing she is. And so she's great. Bailey, I don't think Vince ever understood the character. I think Vince saw her and he's like, she's not hot. It's like, yeah, that's what makes her great. she's not. So it's just like, well, you got to give her some wins or they're going to think she's a loser. It's like, yeah, no, she's kind of the lovable loser. That's another part that makes her great. So, yeah, I think in Vince's world, those things don't make sense.
Yeah.
So, and then, you know, and then subtracting the purity of the character, you know, like, you know, having her, you know, go along with a 5-on-1 gang assault of a former friend, you know, so, you know, stuff like that. NXT is, for all the good things that it is, I think works against, you know, certain acts. I mean, you know, American Alpha, you know, they can't tell that story of the two of them coming together. And so, you know, without that, you know, they weren't, you know, ever really great on the mic, but there was, you know, once again, that purity of their characters that made them coming together a fun viewing experience for the audience. So, you know, you throw them on SmackDown, they're like, hey, they're together. And if you don't know the backstory, don't worry about it. They're just not that good on the mic. They're pretty good wrestlers, but they really don't have a good chance to show you that. So we'll go from there. So that's it. I mean, and same with Bayley. So we're you're not getting that story. You know, she's not really, I mean, like, if you never saw NXT and you're looking at Bayley and you're like, she's not as hot as most of the other ones. And apparently all she does is shill merch.
Yeah, I know.
That's it.
I know. No, it's terrible.
Like, how horrible is that?
It seemed like a gimmick that would be hard to ruin because it was so self-evident what needed to be done to push her. And Vince McMahon has had a complete disregard for that, conscious or not. I mean, it's just no. It wasn't like Vince said, "Okay, I'm told Bayley really got over in NXT, and that people say we can make good money with her. Give me 10 minutes of an explanation of what works with her, and is there something that we normally do with talent that we should do differently with her in order to take advantage of what it is that people believe makes her something special and not just somebody else in the mix?" And he should have spent 10, 15 minutes hearing from some advocates for her who not only know what worked in NXT, but had an idea of what to do in the WWE environment to take advantage of that. And I don't think that conversation ever happened, and he winged it, and I think he left a lot of money behind in screwing her up. And I think you hit on some of the key moments that did undercut the fragile but valuable aspect of what made her stand out as different, and it's unfortunate. I'm not sure they can, you know, rebuild it quickly. I almost think they have to kind of forget what's happened on the main roster and try to just retell her story from scratch and hope people just kind of forget about some of the stuff we just talked about. Okay, last two matches.
Yeah, building up street cred with her. Like, I think Vince saw giving her the belt on that February pay-per-view or when it was with the pay-per-view prior to WrestleMania. You know, I think he's like, "Hey, dude, this is going to help her." And I think that hurt just as much as anything else. Charlotte needed, yes. I think Charlotte going into Mania with the undefeated pay-per-view winning streak would have been huge to lose there. And it's just like, "Oh, this is, you know," like, I don't think he views wrestling through the eyes of a wrestling fan. And we're probably marks for thinking that way.
So, yeah, I think
that's how he sees it, probably.
Yeah, or he thinks he's marketing to a different wrestling fan than there's a slice of wrestling fans that he's marketing towards at the exclusion of others who could expand his audience. And sometimes you can't have both. And Vince sometimes maybe realizes that and thinks, well, you know, and we'll get into Jinder Mahal, I think, as the show goes on here, but he might think, you know, here's a rationalization and a formula for Jinder Mahal, and certain fans are going to like that, and he goes with it, and maybe doesn't factor in, maybe it won't matter this time, maybe it will, doesn't factor in how that will affect other fans that sometimes get taken for granted. So, two other matches on the lineup, Neville, Austin Aries, submission match for the Cruiserweight Championship. Johnny, your take on the Cruiserweight division. We talk on a semi-regular basis here on the live cast and other VIP audio shows. You know, it's the new TNA. What's wrong with the Cruiserweight division, and how can it be fixed? That was like, you know, everyone would say, "What's wrong with TNA, and how can it be fixed?" Well, that's what people now say about the Cruiserweight division. Should they just dump 205 Live in the division, move the best guys into the main roster, put a few others in tag teams, and forget it ever happened? Or is it going fine at a certain level? Don't worry about it. It's inexpensive. It's some cheap niche programming, and so it's no big deal, even if it's not everything it could be. Or do you have some steps in mind or some things they could do that would actually bring it to the level of excitement that the assembly of some of the great cruiserweights in the world generated for the tournament last year?
Well, I think they're missing the heavy hitters that they had from the tournament on the weekly show. I would dump it from the, you know, post SmackDown taping. And just do bulk tapings at Full Sail.
Yeah.
I think that atmosphere is what helped the tournament and would help that show. And, you know, and if they do a UK show, I suggest a similar format. You know, just bulk tape in a smaller environment. And then I think on your SmackDown, your Raw pay per views. That you're really stretching to reach, you know, 3 hours or whatever of content. You know, like, I think it's tough for them to put, you know, a strong 2 hours of content on a Raw only or a SmackDown only pay-per-view. Add a Cruiserweight match on each of those. And that's where they're showcased, you know. And don't bother with them on Raw. Don't bother with them on SmackDown. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually like that idea.
So.
Yeah. Neville, Austin Aries, idea and expectations for this in terms of the outcome.
Well, I saw it this past Saturday at the house show. They're good. No one, I mean, you put that purple tape on, it's time to go to the bathroom. I mean, that's you know, buy some merch. Yeah. I said, oh, real quick, I listened to your, I can't remember what, I listened to a lot of your audio, Wade. I go to sleep listening to you, and I wake up listening to you, so it's, I don't know, there's a compliment buried in there somewhere.
I understand. But, some of my favorite podcasts I fall asleep to, so I take that as a compliment, and wake up to, and I wake up in the middle of the night, and then reset it back to the beginning, so I can fall asleep 10 seconds later.
That's, same here?
Yep.
Same here, same yep. exactly here. So the merch stand at SmackDown, the merch stand at the Raw taping or Raw house show this past weekend was your Raw wrestlers, Roman Reigns, Sasha Banks, Bayley. They did not have an Alexa Bliss shirt. And when I was at the SmackDown house show the week before Mania, they did not have an Alexa Bliss shirt. There's people there with Alexa Bliss. They dropped the ball there. I really think they could have made some money there. No Samoa Joe shirt. They hardly have any heels. They don't sell those. They did have Roman Reigns, of course, and they had Roman Reigns at the SmackDown house show.
Yep.
That I went to the week before Mania. So he's double dipping there, and so. Like when you quote those, you know, it's just like, hey, he's got the best numbers. It's like, yeah, because he's the only guy that you can get the shirt anywhere.
Yeah.
So otherwise, at the Raw House show, they had John Cena shirts, which is no surprise, but they also had AJ Styles shirts, and I was very happy to see that.
Oh, cool. Okay. So
AJ is one of the few transitional guys that he has a shirt at both brands.
Yes. And then Sasha Banks and Rich Swann versus Alicia Fox and Noam Dar. Sasha moved to 205 Live. It seemed to energize a crowd a little bit last night, according to Joey Galizia, who's 205 Live reporter, is up on pwtorch.com right now, having a guest appear, a guest star, so to speak, on 205 Live. What's your take on Sasha being paired with Iceman King Parsons, Rich Swann, in this mixed tag situation? What's up with that? Is Rich Swann a... someone who can benefit from this? What's going on? What's your take?
Well, why are you being mean to Iceman King Parsons? Rich Swann.
Yes. That's a good point. Yes.
At least the butt was over.
I liked Iceman. He was a good,
he was
a good friend of the Von Erichs.
I did too. I said. You're being mean to him.
Yeah.
Compared to Swann. I think they're, throwing something against the wall to see if it sticks and trying to, jazz this up however they can and try to give justification to add a second cruiserweight match to the pay-per-view, I think, is all that is. So, I'm not mad at them, keep trying stuff and hopefully it works. But, Rich Swann, this is a guy that the PWG faithful were, sign him and I joined the network and this is just the greatest thing ever. And then he's there. It's like, oh, he dances. Cool. All right.
And smiles.
And
loves to entertain.
Oh, he does smile.
And he loves to entertain. I don't know if you know that, Johnny. Did you know that? He loves to entertain.
I heard that. He got Sasha to dance like that. I don't know. I don't even think kids like it. Like, how bad is that? You got a guy, once again, at the house show this Saturday, R-Truth comes out and he's the perfect guy for a house show. The bad dads, with their kids, they're there and it's R-Truth and the kids are like, hey, what's up? And I'm like, oh boy. And then that's followed with Hoot, There It Is. I'm like, man, R-Truth, you're so timely.
But
Rich Swann can't even do that. So I don't know.
All right, we'll go to our second break here. When we come back, we're going to introduce some phone calls and some emails and diversify our conversation away from Extreme Rules. So stay tuned. I'm Wade Keller. Johnny Fairplay is my guest co-host, and we'll be back right after this. Do you shop at Amazon.com? If so, do you know there's a way for you to support the PW Torch livecast without doing anything different other than starting your shopping at pwtorch.com/Amazon. When you go to pwtorch.com/Amazon, click on the Amazon link and you land at the Amazon homepage. But anything you buy on that shopping trip, we get a commission for. It's a way to throw a few extra quarters, maybe a couple bucks in the tip jar as a way to say thanks for what we do here at the PW Torch livecast. So next time you're about to shop at Amazon, don't type in AMAZ. Stop right there and type in pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. A free, easy way to help support what we do here at the Livecast. Thank you. The sale expires soon, so if you have not taken advantage of our $1 sale, look in your wallet. You got like probably 3/4, 2 dimes, and a nickel. That's all it costs to find out what all the fuss is about with the PW Torch VIP membership. And you can fall asleep and wake up to my voice every single night like Johnny Fairplay does, or a wide array of other people who host some fantastic exclusive content that our VIP members enjoy and value as part of their subscription. So check it out, pwtorch.com/govip, pwtorch.com/govip, and enter coupon code $sale17. This expires soon. Don't procrastinate. Next time you think about it, it might be expired. So just act on it now. In 2 minutes, you got your password, and you're ready to go for a whole month for just $1. All right, Johnny, let's go ahead and take some phone calls and see what our listeners want to contribute to the show. And we'll begin with Sean from Chicago. Sean, thanks for calling and holding. What's on your mind today?
Thanks for having me on. A couple things on my mind. I want to see if you saw Kevin Owens and Nia Jax's tweet since you were talking about social media. Kevin Owens unfollowed someone who does WWE music. I think they did Jinder Mahal's theme song, and he screenshotted him unfollowing them because it said Jinder Mahal, the new face of America, and he took a screenshot of him unfollowing them. So I love that.
Yes.
Because I know that was just not just him, but not just his character, but that was Kevin Owens. Like, I loved it. It was great. And Nia Jax tweeted out yesterday that isn't it nice when she said something to the effect that it being nice when SmackDown uses their entire women's roster every Tuesday. So she took a dig at Raw, which I liked. And that leads me to my first question is, why doesn't Raw have a Money in a Bank match? I know they split the pay-per-views, but like, wouldn't you think they would have to do one for themselves?
Johnny.
Well, first, hi, Sean. That was my Tom Mark impression.
Oh, yes, of course.
call back. My hope with the Money in the Bank that it's going to alternate every other year between the Raw brand and the SmackDown brand. So that's my hope. So, and, you know, with someone like Brock Lesnar being the champion on Raw, you can use, you know, just the months to build up a contender where you don't even need a Money in the Bank format. And I don't see anyone, you know, sneaking up on Brock with the briefcase. I mean, I think it'd be great, but I don't see them doing that character-wise. So, no, I think, you know, if once the belt is off Brock, like, you know, say the belt's on Roman Reigns, then do a Raw Money in the Bank next year, and everyone will go crazy for The Miz or whoever else to successfully cash in.
And as for Kevin Owens' Twitter page, I just love what he does on Twitter. I mean, he's
great.
Like, just the way he roasts people who come after him on Twitter. I mean, he investigates their social media pages. He makes fun of, you know, there's a guy whose profile pic is like, and he does a quote, like a roasting quote. Hey, I have a great idea. Take a picture of me looking off into the distance. It's going to be so cool. And then a woman wrote and said, Kevin Owens acted like my 3-year-old does when he don't get his way. He was rude, and I wished I could have slapped him. He annoys me so bad. Kevin Owens replies, what should annoy you is that you think he don't and could of is the correct way to write. Your 3-year-old should be tweeting for you. It's awesome. I mean, he quotes someone saying, go back to Canada. And he goes, yeah, a man from Tennessee. Let me save your country one SmackDown show at a time first. So, Kevin Owens does it right. And, you know,
I'm afraid to tweet him.
Yeah, yeah. And, yeah, you know, what Kevin Owens doesn't do and what I'm against is encourage people to tweet him and retweet people going, great performance. I love that promo you cut. You're the best. Like, he's not letting people pat him on the back and then retweeting it for a good, quote, performance. He's playing into the character, but in a way that's a lot of fun that enhances how he wants you to react and how they'll make the most money if you react at house shows when you attend an event or watch them on TV and react to them. So, yeah, I mean, Kevin Owens is pretty close to a role model in that sense of being willing to enhance his, use social media to enhance his character and not needlessly undercut it.
He's also one build away from having all the major titles, all the major singles titles. If once he gets that belt on SmackDown, which he will eventually, he's going to have all the major titles. So the only thing left for him to do would be get tag team gold, and he'll be one of, actually, I think he'd be the only person to ever do that, because I don't know how you're going to have to swap people for them to get the universal title, but he's going to be in the class almost all his own. My second
last time was, I checked, he wasn't 205 pounds.
Oh well, yeah, the cruiserweight. Hey, you never know, man. He might go on. He might have a no carb diet.
Okay.
So, but the second thing is the lack of extreme rules. In extreme rules, I mean a disqualification match where the belt changes hands on a DQ. That said, extreme rules. I don't get that.
So yeah,
I mean,
that is sort of the opposite, isn't it? We're gonna
Kurt Angle thought long. Kurt Angle thought long and hard about.
He did, yes. he thought long and hard about what stip he wanted Finn Balor to be in.
Yes, he thinks long and hard about a lot of stipulations. Bruce tweeted something about what do you think Corey Graves was referring to, or I'm just like, I think I replied, I'm pretty sure someone hacked Kurt's Twitter account, like the glory days of Kurt's Twitter.
God, yeah. Sean, anything else? I'm not even sure where we left off with you.
The women?
Yeah, I just just a little tidbit. This probably be the last thing I ever say about it, just because it's so overdone.
Yeah.
But the gender hate. It's funny how I see how exactly what he says is exactly what everyone's doing, and exactly what Vince wanted, because he said, "Oh, just do the over the top foreign guy; they'll hate you." And he says, "You hate me because of the way I look." And people say, "Oh, they just got another big steroid guy. Oh, you hate where I'm from. Oh, they're just pushing him because he's from India." I'm like, well, that's the exact responses he wanted to elicit. So I guess they're winning. I mean, maybe not the way I would have went, but they're winning. They got the reactions they wanted, because everybody's hating that or loving it because it's, it's a guy coming out of nowhere to get a push.
Well, thanks, Sean. Appreciate the call. Let's talk about gender a little bit. Jinder Mahal. Let's introduce an email. I think I read this on last night's show too. But Patrick said, "What are your thoughts on Jinder as a heel representing the Indian people? If I were Indian, I don't think he'd be over with me as a heel. If WWE wanted to push him, wouldn't it have been better as a babyface? Also, is it possible there's..." Oh, that's a whole other topic. So there's that aspect of it. Like, if the idea is to break in the India market, Vince McMahon is counting on fans in India. They have a huge social following in India, and a lot of people watch WWE through YouTube in India, but they haven't found a way to really monetize it in a serious way, and I'm not sure that they're positioned to monetize Jinder in a serious way, and that's why I'm not buying into this idea that, well, if you don't get why they're doing it, it's because you don't understand the business. The business is entering a new market. You got to have the fan who matches the market that you're... you have to have a top wrestler who matches the market that you're entering, and you want fans to identify. And I guess if they were going to start running, quarterly house show tours in India, and they felt that the technology of streaming and subscription services was burgeoning in India... I could see this being worth analyzing at a higher level, but I don't sense that's their game plan. They certainly haven't expressed it explicitly that the pieces are in place to do this. So I'm less concerned about whether he's a heel or a face, as Patrick brought it up, and how that's interpreted by fans in India. Although I do think fans just would be like, "Hey, we wink, wink, we get what WWE is, and we're just glad, quote, one of us is on top," even if he is a heel, and they might go, "Hey, he's just speaking truth," like Bret Hart in the Canada storyline 20 years ago. "He's just speaking truth to Americans, and I'm nodding along." All that said, I think Johnny, and I talked about this with Mike Chiari last night on the post-SmackDown livecast, I just think Jinder even if India wasn't a market or they were already in it and saturated, if India wasn't a factor, I could see Vince McMahon doing exactly what he's doing because Jinder's got the physique and the height and the look he wants, and they're out of heels for John Cena to come in and conquer. And I don't think he wants Cena, and I don't think Cena necessarily wants another, you know, series with the indie great who Cena's going to prove he can work against. I think Vince wants to go to the formula of bringing the Cena, the fans, the ones who were the kids and the families, in to see Cena conquer a guy that they're annoyed by and want to see lose. And I'm just starting to think the Jinder push has more to do with the time of year. You can take a chance, Randy Orton being cold, and wanting to set up Jinder as a bowling pin for Cena to knock down. And I think Vince was looking around the roster at who fits someone I can push post-superstar shakeup to add some depth to SmackDown, and Jinder jumped out as a guy who was doing everything right. I think India is more a bonus than the primary driver because of the timing of it and where they are with trying to monetize India. Johnny, your thoughts on all that?
Thanks, Patrick. never gets old. I see why Pat does it now. Or Todd, sorry.
Okay,
I think they're setting up Jinder to beat John Cena over the summer and have the belt. If they're in India in September, he takes the belt to India in September, and if he's still hot as a heel then or after then, great. And if not, take, you know, then they revisit the feud, you know, maybe for Survivor Series, and Cena beats him then. So I say Jinder keeps the belt until they get to India. And I mean, this is, it's not the Monday Night Football lull, but I mean, it's the post-WrestleMania lull. So let's build someone up and let's I mean, full throttle. And if it works, it works. If it does, it doesn't. So I don't think Cena's at a spot where he has to win. Like, I think Cena does what he's told, you know, and I think if they say, you know, Cena, we're gonna build this up as the, you know, not American champion, and then you come in as, you know, the hope for America, we want you to lose this one. And I don't think Cena has a problem with it.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Let's take another call here. And let's go to Kenny in Mobile, Alabama. Kenny, welcome to the show.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, so my question is, on Monday night, we had some callers call in the arena, and they talked about how Roman got booed out of the building, but, you know, when I was watching it, I really didn't hear all that. Can you guys remember another time in WWE history where the reaction in the arena didn't come across like it did on television? You get what I'm kind of saying? Because it just seems like they either muted, or I'm not sure how they do that, or there's even any proof. I'm just curious about that.
We had a caller say that, you know, the Reigns was getting a very negative reaction on Monday, and it didn't come across on television. They used to do this all the time when syndicated TV was taped. I mean, the superstars of wrestling, WWF superstars and Challenge. I mean, everything, the experience was so manipulated in terms of post-production, and it was rather crude back then, but it was better than WCW's attempts to do the same thing at times, which was even more crude and transparent. But, I mean, you know, I don't have a huge problem with it in the sense that, you know, people sell for punches that don't really hit. And why can't, you know, WWE try to manipulate a certain part of their fan base into thinking somebody's popular who's not? I don't have a problem with that in and of itself. My problem is, I think that if they have to do that, they ought to be saying, maybe we are doing something wrong, and put their attention towards pushing people who fans actually, you know, as baby faces who fans actually like, and not have a war on fans and try to manipulate them. But if the wheels are in motion and you're committed to this and you think in the long run you can make, or, you know, in the relative short run, long run, whatever, you can make more money with a certain guy in a certain role, but crowds aren't reacting that way, and you think you can help sway people to react the quote right way by manipulating audio, I mean, I don't think that's all that different than not doing slow-mo replays of a move that misses. I mean, there's all kinds of manipulation going on in the TV product, and I mean, they have the right to do that. I just think if they have to do it a lot, they ought to take some inventory on some things that they're doing wrong.
Well, Saturday night at the house show, like, you know, I hear you read the, you know, the house show report. So, you know, Roman's more over at house shows than he is on the live TV because it's, you know, the vocal minority that is the actual majority are not there at the house shows. Well, I was at the house show and there were plenty of the bad dads and plenty of the kids. And it was either 70-30 or 80-20. They hated Roman Reigns' guts. So his T-shirt was not the number one selling T-shirt there by a lot. Number one selling T-shirt was Balor Club by a lot. And but after the show was over and Rollins and Reigns won, they kept the lights off. They just did the spotlight. They walked around and Roman Reigns did selfie. Well, first he put his hair up in a man bun. I'm like, well, shoot, if he's not trying to work heel now, I don't know what. So, and he took pictures with the fans. They didn't boo him and people stayed all around just to watch him take selfies with the fans. And so I think it's just the cool thing to boo him now. I don't think, I mean, cause this guy, he's not putting in stinkers. I mean, he is doing, like you said, he is the, you know, the video game. He is having video game matches and just pressing the super button over and over and over again. It's like, you know, your character has, you know, 48 other moves. Please try to work those in. So, but he's, I mean, you know, look at the, you know, his matches with AJ Styles, you know, from there forward, he's had really, you know, above average matches with just about everyone that he's been in the ring with. So the guy is good. So, you know, you can't hate him for that. And I think it's just the cool thing to boo him. So should they have turned him heel 2 years ago and he could, and he'd probably be the biggest baby face on the planet right now? Probably. I'd say 100% yes. But, you know, it is what it is. But I don't think people hate him like they say. I think it's just cool to boo him. So, but by being cool to boo him, they ain't buying a shirt. So even on sale at Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah, and I think that he's done a lot to earn respect from fans in the ring, and compared to a lot of other guys who have been given a push like Roman is getting and flopped, you know. Ultimate Warrior was not a success on top. People remember him in an iconic way, and he connected with people with his energy and his colors and some of the stuff that he said. But he wasn't a success at a top level guy. Sid wasn't either. You know, Lex Luger wasn't. There's been people who have pushed to the top and just didn't succeed because they couldn't deliver on the mic or in the ring. And Roman has delivered in the ring. Now he's had the benefit, and it's not a dig on him because not everybody would do as well as he has against these world-class opponents, but he's had the benefit of an incredible array of world-class opponents to make him look good. And he's contributed his fair share. My question is, after all of that, there's still people who don't like him. And there's people who don't like him who I don't think are booing him because it's the cool thing to do. I think if he were portrayed differently and augmented the way that he's presented, there's a way that I think he could win some of those fans over. But, you know, I mean, he told Chris Jericho on a couple months back, I don't peacock because I am a peacock. Now, I get what he's saying.
Yeah.
He's saying, I don't need to go out of my way, you know, to come across as a star because I just am a star. I just show up and I'm a peacock. I don't need to wear all those feathers Charlotte did last night. So when you say stuff like that, people might not remember the quote, but they remember the emotion that they felt when they got that vibe from you, that you are so sure that you are special and that you're just the coolest dude to ever walk onto that stage and out to the ring, and that you don't even have to really ask the fans for their support because, by God, look at me. Look at me. How could you boo this? Like, he still gives that off. And he's completely, and Vince McMahon and people and his defenders are completely oblivious to the fact that he gives that vibe off. And guess what? Women swoon and kids aren't at the stage where they resent that. They eat what WWE feeds them. But he still gives that vibe off to a huge, huge money-generating portion of the WWE audience. And yes, there's enough AJ Styles, Kevin Owens stuff going on, Shinsuke Nakamura, on and on, that you know, Vince McMahon thinks, hey, they're going to stick around. They don't have anywhere else to go at a large scale. And he's probably right in that regard, and maybe that's a smart decision ultimately to make. But it comes at a price. And the loyalty to the WWE brand since the John Cena era and now the Roman Reigns era, the new era, they don't know what they're missing. That's my argument. And that's what Todd Martin's argument is all along. Yes, business is good, and they're making a lot of money and generating a lot of revenue, but what could it be if they didn't have a war on fans? What could it be if they didn't have a babyface who just constantly said and did things that resonated with fans in a way that where they are more than happy to express discontent with him being on top? And I don't know what percentage of that hurts business and what percentage is it's kind of a cool thing to do, and as long as you give me a good AJ match in the undercard, I love WWE. I don't know the answer to that, but I'm curious where they would be if Roman Reigns wasn't so sure that he was just that his presence was a gift to wrestling fans. And I say that with a ton of respect for his improvement and the work he puts in the ring, but that personality, it's more Johnny than just it's a cool thing to boo him. I think there's genuine emotion that backs up those boos. That's a visceral reaction to how Roman Reigns presents himself, and how guys are taken aback by how he feels about himself and how that gets projected.
Well, real quick, the Peacock thing. Daniel Bryan was almost beautiful Bobby Peacock. That was the name that he picked when WWE gave him the list of names.
Oh God, that's right. Yes, yes.
They gave him like other names to choose. Where he's like, "Beautiful Bobby P. That's me. That screams me." And then they went with Daniel Bryan. So, but now as far as Roman Reigns, I think a real easy fix. And you were talking. I don't know if it was last night or the night before. At the house shows. Actually, I think it was yesterday. Daily pop. Anyway. Roman Reigns did not touch the mic at the house show on Saturday. So Seth Rollins cut the promo for both of them, and I'm just like, it's a house show. Like, this is the time this guy should be talking. So, and I think two things that would immediately help the Roman Reigns cause is just letting him talk. I mean, like, even if he digs his own hole, let him talk and see if there's something relatable there. Like, you know, see if he one day finds his groove and it's just like, yeah, like, you know, even though he's kind of douchey, I can get behind that douchey. So that's number one. And number two, take off that Shield vest. I don't know how much they're making on vest sales. I'm guessing not a ton. So, but like, number one, you have the Shield breaks up. He gets to keep the music. He gets to keep the outfit. And people didn't like that. Because if they're like, you know, if anyone got to keep it, that's not their choice. So get rid of the vest, number one, just because you're saying that he wasn't the favorite pick of the Shield, because he shouldn't have been. And number two, like Austin was saying last week on the live cast, you know, Austin wished if he could go back and do it all over again, he would sell facing up. So I think Roman could benefit from sell facing up and sell, and also without that vest. I mean, like, you know, people leaving welts on that, unless he's got man boobs that we don't know about, unless there's a secret reason he's wearing that vest, I'm guessing there isn't. I bet he has a perfect chest. Show that chest, put some whelps on it, and you're like, dang, he's getting messed up. Like, come on, Roman, fight back. So I think that would make a difference. Those two things, I think, would be immense hurdles that he could overcome to start the you know, people going, you know, I know it's cool to root against him, or even the people that, you know, I just don't like him. I think he might win some of those people over. It's just like, man, Roman's all right. I mean, he took a whooping, look at his chest, and you know, he ain't the favorite one, you know, still winning all his matches. But, you know, so that's my suggestion.
Yeah, and Roman has wrestled without the vest, and there's nothing that looks like needs hiding. I mean, you can Google images of Roman Reigns and see plenty of images of him without the vest, and it's not a problem. Now, he has at times carried a lot of other weight when he was a football player, and he slimmed way down, and so there might be some concern that genetically, as time goes on, it's going to be harder to keep up a certain look at the way that John Cena has managed to, and so the vest is a preemptive strike against that. I would say, reduce the costume, reduce the sense that he has protection so that he can sell more convincingly for a while. And I bet 3-4 years down the line, if he gets to his mid-30s, late-30s, and the physique is harder to keep up and the genetics start making things a little flabbier, then the vest will be nostalgia. You can go back to that.
Yeah.
And people will embrace it. So I agree. I mean, I think there's I think there's three, four things that could give WWE a 60-70% chance that they could win over some of the fans who are booing him without going the heel turn route that would not undercut anything else that they're doing with him. And but they keep telling themselves there's nothing wrong and nothing worth fixing. And Roman
nothing
sure
to see here,
up.
Folks.
Yep. And I mean, like Roman, you know, Roman said, "Hey, fans, boo me all you want. My wife's still going to love me the same when I get home." You know, you can't say that and expect to cheer you. I mean, and he says, "Oh, I don't care that you're booing me." And then there's other indications that he absolutely cares that people are booing him. I mean, I don't.
You gotta care. I mean, like I feed off. I mean, like, you know, when I'm a heel and off, I feed off of it. But like, if the booker told me to, like, "Hey, Johnny, we need to be a babyface tonight," I would be like, "Well, you're an idiot." And then they're like, "No," and I was like, and if I went out there, I would go back. And I'm like, "Well, if you messed that up," or I'd be like, "Well, that hurt my feelings." Yeah. Like, geez, like, what did I do to them personally? Like, these people hate me. So yeah, no, there's no way he could be that Teflon. I mean, like, so and once again, more power to him. So I give him credit going. I mean, like, you know, that's not, if you're getting 70-80% boos at a house show,
yeah.
God bless you. You're a tough dude.
Yep, yep. Okay, let's go another break. When we come back, more conversation, more calls, more emails with Johnny Fairplay. I'm Wade Keller. This is the midweek edition of the PW Torch livecast. We know you're a pro wrestling fan because you're listening to the PW Torch livecast. There's a good chance you're also a fan of the UFC and all of mixed martial arts. And if so, we hope you'll check out our sister website at MMATorch.com, covering the news of MMA every single day with breaking news, exclusive analysis, an array of columns, live event coverage, flashbacks, and so much more. Check it out. That's MMATorch.com or download the free MMA Torch app in the iPhone and Android app stores. That's MMATorch.com. All right, we're back. I'm Wade Keller, joined by Johnny Fairplay. This is the midweek flagship of the PW Torch livecast. By the way, you can pick up a t-shirt for the PW Torch livecast at pwtorchtees.com. That's pwtorchtees.com if you're interested in wearing our brand. And if you go to a wrestling show, it's a way to meet like-minded fans who might go, "Hey, I listened to that show." And next thing you know, they're your best friend. So make a new best friend. Buy a t-shirt. Wear it. It's better than going shirtless. That'd be weird. Johnny, I want to catch an email here on another topic, which was what happened last night. Your interpretation. JC from Ontario says, "What do you think of Dolph's clean win over AJ Styles last night? Is it substantial at all, or is this just another case of 50-50 booking to make everyone seem strong before Money in the Bank? Or is this just AJ needing to lose in his hometown? Thanks. Keep up the great work, as always. VIP membership for 3.5 years is well worth the money for all the endless content." Johnny, I'm curious for your take. What was your reaction last night when you saw that?
Sure. Well, real quick, Bruce is wearing his live cast shirt Saturday night at the house show.
Oh, good.
I'm lying.
Yeah, I know.
No, he wasn't. He does. I called him on it, and
yes.
and I wanted to rat him out, so he's now in the doghouse. So there you go. Payback. my probation's over. Feel the wrath.
Yes. I want him to wear a t-shirt that just says, "I'm Bruce Mitchell," and just wear that always.
Oh, I want you to wear a shirt that says, "Bruce, Bruce, Bruce, Bruce." Like, he does he understand that conversations are too... consist of two parts? Just throwing it out there. Just, I mean, one person talks, the other one answers, and the other person can interject, you know, within 8 minutes. It's okay. It's not rude.
Don't get me started.
I feel better.
Yes, good.
I know. Years, Wade. Years.
Decades.
So,
yes.
No, last night, it was supposed to be as clean as it was. I went back and rewatched the finish a couple times, and I never do. So, before we finish up, I want to talk to you about my match of the year candidate, because it's a match I've only seen once, but I will watch a second time, and I don't really do that either.
Yeah.
So, but as far as the finish, if you watch when AJ takes that bump off the top, I think he was supposed to catch it. His legs were supposed to be caught up. And then I think Dolph was supposed to give him a super kick, like, while he was intertwined in the ropes. Because if you look, AJ is, like, feverishly reaching for that top rope with his hands. And when he takes that bump, he doesn't do that to like, he just has a way to safely take that without looking to, you know, to protect himself.
Okay.
And so I don't think it was a case of him trying to protect himself. I think it was him trying to get to grasp hold to somehow be like that. So then when Dolph catches him with the super kick, it's not just AJ standing up catching a super kick. It's like, okay, wow, that was weird out of nowhere. It's one of those, AJ was caught in the ropes, he gets caught in the super kick. It's like, wow, I've never seen anyone get kicked like that. That's a unique set of circumstances that could cause a shocking three count that we wouldn't typically see. So I as I said, if you go back and watch, I mean, he's feverishly reaching for that top rope to try, which I think to kind of catch himself there. So it's a unique circumstance and not just a clean super kick 1-2-3.
Yeah.
So, but still the outcome being the same, I think it's one of those, you know, hey, Dolph has a chance, which means Dolph has no chance whatsoever of winning Money in the Bank.
Yes, I agree with that also. No, I think that's good analysis.
Yeah.
I think now that it's happened, though, I think Dolph needs to just never shut up about it. I think he needs to talk more about that than Chris Jericho talking about being the first.
That'd be great. And also his tights. I didn't know that. All right, so he's been wearing, like, so he turned heel a few months ago or whatever, and he's been wearing the Don't Tread on Me and the American flag tights.
Yeah.
And I was just like, does this guy not understand what makes a heel and all that? So, and I was talking to Thunder D, the guy that did the grandma line with me on Survivor, and I guess Dolph is like super pro Trump, and so he's going to these rallies and stuff, and his big thing is the patriotism, and this is part of that. That's why he was wearing those tights. And I'm like, all right, well, that's a heel. I stand corrected. I did not know.
Last night was
not Don't Tread on Me tight.
Okay. I think if your goal is to be a heel and you think Donald Trump's, you know, and America are good, both, you know, I mean, whatever it is, Donald Trump alone or the United States of America, and you're a patriot, like, you don't want to advertise that to people. Your goal is to get booed. And if you think, I don't know, it's a questionable decision. I don't understand.
He makes no sense on anything to me.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't understand. I mean, so Jason Powell's mentioned. So give him some. If you want to attempt to rehab Dolph Ziggler as a character and as a, you know, a major person, because I mean they are light on talent on both shows. So new music is step number one, and no more neon is step number two. So those two things need to take place. So.
Yeah. And, you know, I would say that wearing stonewashed jeans makes him a heel, but I don't even want to see those. You know, like the way that he wore them.
I know.
Okay.
I know. So, and he wears the suit jacket with the Chucks. Get it? Yeah, I got it.
Yes. Okay, another question. Stephen from Toronto, or Stefan from Toronto, Canada. Hello, I was listening to the discussion in your show after Monday Night Raw about a possible Kurt Angle match. What do you think about Kurt in a tag team match? I was thinking John Cena and Kurt versus Triple H and Samoa Joe. This would allow the others to do the heavy lifting while working a slower-paced match to make Kurt look good. Plus, it would allow for a Cena-Samoa Joe dream program. Love listening to the programs. Keep up the great work, Stefan. Monday we were talking about that, Johnny, as you probably know. You know what? Somebody was an advocate for Kurt Angle against Brock Lesnar, and we've already talked about why that's just insane, given Kurt's neck problems and pain pill addiction issues and all that. It's just, that's not, just go watch the 60-minute match they had if you want to see that. It happened, it was great, and that's there. I'd rather see Kurt.
I was there.
Oh, where are you?
The SmackDown one?
Yep.
The one on SmackDown?
Yep.
That was the night of my first season of Survivor premiere, and they taped it a couple nights early, so I was actually front row for that match at the Greensboro Coliseum. And then I guess they taped on a Tuesday, and then they showed it on Thursday. And so it went head-to-head against my first episode of Survivor. So, yes, I was there.
What's your memory of the match?
It was great.
Yeah, yeah.
Eddie Guerrero was in the match before that and threw out his T-shirt, and I was too busy talking to this girl
And he and if I had just looked, made eye contact, I would have gotten a T-shirt. And so I was I was complaining about that for about 60 minutes. It was like, that should have been my T-shirt.
Now,
it was a great match. I mean,
as the curmudgeon Bruce would say, you know you can buy a T-shirt.
It's not the same. I would say that to Bruce, too. It doesn't have Eddie's sweat on it. It's not the same.
Yes.
But yeah, no, it was a great match. I mean, it was one of the best matches I've ever seen live, easily.
I loved, by the way, I think it was Baron Corbin at a house show recently. It was Monday night. We got a detailed report on PWTorch.com of the Monday night SmackDown house show. Ty Dillinger threw his T-shirt to the crowd. A couple minutes into the match, Corbin went into the crowd to try to get the T-shirt because the fan didn't pay for it and he shouldn't get to keep it. I love that.
Yeah.
I love it.
I saw him NXT a year ago, and he came to the ring, and he wouldn't take his shirt off. And the crowd chanted, you know, take your shirt off. He goes, no, they make you pay for it. Give me $30. he's got heel great. I mean, like, watching last night, he doesn't have match great. So there's still some work that needs to be done there. But character-wise, I think he's ahead of a lot of guys.
So who do you want to see Kurt Angle wrestle if he has one more match? And what do you think of Stefan's specific match, a tag match where he can be? WWE doesn't generally do that. When there's a guy like Sting, should have probably been in a tag match with John Cena. In retrospect, I would vote for Sting and John Cena together. I think John Cena was the successful Sting. I think John Cena was a lot of things that Sting was. But he was successful at it. Obviously, didn't have the blonde hair and the face paint, but the original Sting, there's a lot of parallels. They should have teamed together against two heels. Sting could have been protected, gotten his big spots, and we wouldn't have this memory of Sting being exposed badly and having all the bells and whistles thrown in that Mania match. So, I think there comes a point in a career. And same with Hulk Hogan. I think it's for multiple reasons that shouldn't happen now, but there was a time where Hogan should have been in tag matches and build a hot tag. He comes in. You know, he does some stretches, some DDP yoga, gets the boot up to hit the chest, and he probably shouldn't be doing leg drops on his hips. But, you know, nevertheless, there's things he could do. Satisfy the fans, give them what they want.
He can do one. One's not going to kill you.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't want to see a leg dangling like it's detached from a limb because the screws come loose. But nevertheless, you know, that's my point is I do like Stefan's idea with Angle's history and how beat up his body is and really how he looked at the end in TNA. I saw him at the Waterloo, Iowa Hall of Fame a couple years back in person. And I mean, you can see it even as GM, you know, it looks like the years of abuse have taken a toll on him. I don't want to see him badly injured, paralyzed, or addicted to pain pills again. I think his match should be very limited. He doesn't know his own limits, but Cena, Kurt versus Triple H, Samoa Joe, that works for me.
I don't think they're going to do a tag match. They just don't do tag matches. I think that's great. I think it's perfect. You know, it's a interpromotional brand thing. You know, make it special, like a Mania or SummerSlam or even or Survivor Series. They don't mind, you know, having the brands marry. So I'd be fine with that. I think we're getting I think we're getting Kurt Angle versus Triple H. So the dream match that you go through all the possibilities. It's like, man, what would it be like if he went against Rusev or Shane? You know, like all these guys he's never in the ring with. Yeah, I think we get Triple H because that's the one where we've all just been like, I wonder what would happen. I don't know. Watch the network. You can see exactly what would happen in their primes. I think we get Triple H. So I think this past Monday was the beginning of that with Corey Graves.
Yep. All right, let's take another call and let's go to Sam.
Oh, also, Wade, quick. I did DDP yoga this morning.
I saw that. I saw the tweet. 7 a.m.
Yeah, 7 a.m. I was. It's good.
How often?
It helps.
How often do you do it?
Only
when you're going to be on a live cast and you want to tweet about it.
Oh. Yeah, that's it. No, I shoot for twice a week. I'm averaging once a week. So.
Yeah, hey.
But, I run so much. I mean, running is easier with my schedule, and I just hate being inside. I mean, like, I run to get a tan and being inside, staring at a TV, like, that's not ideal for me. So, it's just, but I mean, it makes a difference. I feel a lot better every time I do it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, absolutely.
And can I, on a side note, can I say something about the DVD? And I love Dallas, and he's
a great
guy, and I know you love Dallas. But can I? So when I started watching these things, I'm just like, there's no way he can be DDP on this. I mean, like, you know, he's trying to sell yoga. He's got to be a baby face here. Like, there's no way he can be the true DDP we all know and love. So I think I was 2.5 minutes into disc one, and he goes, "Hey, brah, the most important thing is breathing. You breathe in for 5 seconds, you breathe out for 5 seconds. Like, let's give this a try. Let's practice at home." So it's like, okay, now let's do 10 seconds. You breathe in, you breathe out, 10 seconds. Blah blah blah. He goes, "Now, if you practice this every day, and you do this for years, one day you'll be able to do 20 seconds. I can do 60. Well, why can't I do 60? So yes, 2.5 minutes in, he's DDP. In case you're wondering.
Yep. And you just, it's the charm of DDP, and people who get upset by it don't understand. It's harmless, and it is who he is, and he embraces who he is unabashedly. And at this point, you know, when he was, when he's 28, and you know, it's like, come on. But now it's like, no, that's, you wouldn't want him any different.
It's lovable. It's absolutely lovable.
Absolutely. So. Yeah. All right, let's go to Sam in Orange County. Sam, thanks for calling. What's on your mind this afternoon?
Hey, what's up, Boyd? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I first want to say I do DDP yoga 3 times a week. So
good for you. Awesome. Well,
I just wanted to throw that in there. I'm just messing with you guys. I haven't done it. Two things I wanted to bring up to you number one, I want to say this is, like, I don't know how many other, you know, how other, you know, wrestling podcasts work in the sense of the format that you guys have, but I wonder, it's like, I think it's interesting in the sense of things that we hear on the show or things that we hear on podcasts. And ideas that we have thrown around, a little solo ideas. And I feel like we later see those on, you know, in actual WWE shows. And I guess what I'm trying to ask is, do you think, or have you guys ever heard of WWE, like, do they have feelers? Like, do they have people out there, keeping a toll on these podcasts and what's being said? And do you guys think that they take any of the things that they hear and do anything with it?
Number one. Sam, do you have anything that comes to mind that you think we talked about here that then you saw manifest on TV?
Yeah, I mean, I think, and I'm not trying to gas you up, Wade, but I think like 50 things that I've heard you say, I've seen them implicate in one way or another. You know, I think the most recent one, and it wasn't necessarily direct, but, you know, with the cruiserweights, I saw that, the commercial yesterday that, you know, Sasha Banks was going to be on 205 Live, and I thought that was interesting because every time you talked about the cruiserweights, you talk about, you know, them needing to do something and them needing, you know, to bring other people on, and obviously you weren't thinking Sasha Banks, but, you know, that's an indirect example right there. Number two, how much you and other callers have talked about Randy Orton not caring and seeming like he's and all the things that I've heard for the last 2 months, and then Randy Orton comes out and gives the promo that he gave last night. Like, you don't think the promo he gave last night, it has any direct, you know, connection to that? And just the things that are out there?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yes. I mean, I don't know. It's, I mean, I don't peacock because I'm a peacock. No, I mean, yes, of course, there's some, I think there's people in WWE who listen and have, you know, read The Torch and listen to what we do here at The Torch in an audio format. And it can't help but end up as pitched ideas or a seed that's planted that manifests sometimes much later and sometimes right away. But sometimes, I mean, honestly, I don't think some of our things are all that profound. I think sometimes the things that I say, I'm saying because I think it's self-evident and a given, and they're just kind of on a groupthink track, or they have a certain inertia, and they're not really seeing what is just in their face. And I think so. Sometimes I think things would happen coincidentally because other people are thinking the same thing. Like, I don't think a lot of what we talk about on the show, sometimes it's, you know, hey, here's a crazy idea no one would think of. But I really sometimes think I'm just trying to say what I think is they're missing that would be the obvious thing that most people on the outside looking in who aren't just in the aren't kind of in the bubble and in the mix would go, oh, that, yeah, Randy looks like he's phoning in. He needs to step up. And so sometimes I think it's coincidental, because if I'm thinking it, there's other people thinking it, and some of those people are in the company, and it just takes a while to get to Vince McMahon. But, hey, the podcast world, people don't know what you're listening to on your earbuds when you're on a flight. You know, back in the day, if you're reading a newsletter, you know, you get heat for it. Hey, oh, you if you read it, you must be one of the sources, and I bet you're, you know, whatever. Now, you know, you can kind of put on whatever you want to listen to on those long car rides or flights. And, yeah, I mean, obviously there's people in creative and admin and on the roster who listen and sometimes give me feedback. So, I mean, yeah, that goes on. But, I mean, I can't – sometimes I just think the ideas are ones that would have happened inevitably, and I just am saying what everybody's thinking too. So it's kind of that mix. Johnny, I mean, but I'll say this. I mean, Howard Finkel back in the day and even now there's people who are assigned – a job to kind of summarize what's the vibe of the wrestling media and what are they saying. And back in the day, I mean, it was there were, you know, two places that were significantly, you know, reporting on the industry and you know, the Torch and Observer, and then, you know, a few newspaper columns. And now it's expanded greatly with all the podcasts. So it's a different, and all the websites too. And major media brands having wrestling sections. It's a different world now. But yeah, I mean, they've always kind of kept, Vince McMahon has always wanted at least summaries and ideas of what was being said out there. Johnny, anything to add to this topic?
Well, I mean, I remember when I was in TNA, like I'd be at dinner with like Dixie Carter and Jeff Jarrett, and like, you know, and I'd be late, and I'd come in there just like, Interplay, what's going on? I'm just like, ah, you know, I was just on the phone with Wayne Keller, or I was just on the phone with Jason Powell. They're like, oh, stooging to them, huh? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, I like when they write nice things about me, and I give them plenty of information so that they write nice things about me. And I was like, Jeff, and, you know, Wade said your match was great. He was like, oh, awesome thing. I'm like, no, he didn't. Why? And you're horrible.
What I want to know is,
for some reason, I stopped.
Has it ever worked that you fed information to me or Powell or Bruce, and we did anything that made you think, oh, I got a compliment I didn't deserve?
Never.
Yeah, okay. Because I want to make
I'm
sure.
Still waiting on the first compliment.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
If that was your goal,
no.
I think you're failing. But that's funny. That's funny.
Well, no, it can be my goal. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, epic fail. So
yeah,
no,
exactly.
Why wouldn't I try? I mean, nothing else works. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Speaking of ideas, you pitched. It was either you or Jason. I know it was for the tour. So you know, it might have been when Jason was with the Torch. You wrote like a 2-page thing about Matt Hardy. I think it was Matt Hardy coming into TNA and me managing Matt Hardy.
Yeah.
Was that you that wrote that or Jason?
I don't think so. Must have been Jason.
Okay. Anyway, yeah. It was like a 2-page. Anyway, so, and I gave that to TNA Creative, and they're like, yeah. I was like, all right. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
So, but no, they listen. They listen to you. They listen to all the sheets. So no, they are influenced by the sheets. I know this for a fact. So but sometimes they will do the exact opposite just to show that they know best. And those are the segments that you're just like, wow, really? They're not giving up, and
all
it's
right.
just horrible. And so
I got to wrap up in 2 minutes. I want to get a couple rapid fire topics in before we run.
Sure.
Your match of the year. You said you went back and wanted to rewatch a match, and you had a match with your candidate. What is that?
Sure. Yeah. The UK match from the last NXT special.
Yeah.
I've seen Okada and Omega twice now, and I loved it. I mean, I don't know about 6 stars. I don't do. The stars. So, but I thought it was great enough for me to watch it twice, which is, you know, pretty big.
60 seconds.
So, but I will go back and watch the UK match. But I like that one better than Okada and Omega. I thought that was my match of the year.
Very good. What do you think of the DIY breakup?
Great. I'm with you. Pulling off the belts at the very end, no problem. I hope they got chewed out afterwards, the Authors of Pain. I mean, like, you know, you have a match, and I think the match was better than Steve thought. Steve Austin, they said last week's live cast. So, I mean, I don't think he disliked it, but he didn't say it was as great. But he thought the angle at the end was perfect and awesome and all that, and I agree there. I thought the match was really good, but
But you gotta sell the. I mean, like if the finish is, you know, if you're striving the entire time to get these belts off,
10 seconds,
you don't just rip them off. You gotta go. That last thing is just as important as the first thing.
Yeah, and how much are you paying attention to Impact Wrestling these days?
I haven't seen it since the Broken Universe, so I don't know anything going on.
Yeah,
I don't watch Pop TV, so I don't. So it's on a bad network. So and that matters to me.
Greg Parks in this week's Pressing Torch newsletter has a column just looking at the new, evaluating some of the new faces in TNA. So people who, or excuse me, I keep saying TNA, but it'll happen. I lobbied for years, years and years. Get rid of the name, and then they finally realized.
I know. Now you got it.
Yeah. But nevertheless. Yeah.
I listen to the live cast on Thursdays. Yeah. I listen to it, like I usually run on Fridays and listen to it. So I know what's going on, but it doesn't sound like something I need to see.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Greg Parks has a column, full-page column, in-depth on the new talent and some of the returning talent like Matt Morgan and Alberto, LAX. So if people who are fans of Impact Wrestling or want a good overview on Greg's thoughts on that, you can check that out. Also in this week's Torch newsletter, Bruce Mitchell has a really nice column on the late Frank DeFord and his influence on wrestling journalism, actually. So good column to look forward to there in this week's Torch newsletter. Johnny, I do got to run. We could do another hour and a half and not cover two topics in the same topic twice. Great having you back. Appreciate your insight. Thanks to our callers and emailers, too.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
And, so catch me on Twitter at Johnny Fairplay. Blah, blah, blah. We're good.
Yeah. And we didn't talk about Survivor. What, do you still watch Survivor?
Yeah. I thought the last season was good. I thought it finished a little slow. Officer Sarah was kind of weak. So I have a big charity event. Check out at Hearts of Reality on Twitter. It's probably 100 survivors and other reality stars. We're getting together. We're meeting, doing a bunch of stuff with kids that are. Might not make it, and so we're hoping that they all do. And so check out Hearts of Reality, and you can donate there. I just did a fundraiser a couple weeks ago in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. We raised about $4,000, and it takes about $7,000 to bring an entire family down to Florida for a week long vacation. So we're in the. If you check my Twitter and Hearts of Reality, we're always trying to raise more money to send more families down there. So check me out there Thank you, Wade, for everything you do. So as I said, I listen every day. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Johnny. And it's Johnny at Johnny Fairplay on Twitter, no H, at Johnny Fairplay. You can find out about Hearts of Reality there. All right, great. We'll do this again soon, Johnny. Thanks to our listeners, as always. And tomorrow, Justin Incredible joins me. So awesome. That will do it for me as far as conversation, but now it's your time, if you haven't, to sign up for VIP membership for $1. You may miss out if you don't act now. So don't procrastinate. Take advantage of it now. If you've at all been tempted, ever been tempted, there's a lot coming up in the next month in terms of wrestling content. And as Johnny says, you can throw the earbuds in, and it can help you pass the time while you're exercising, while you're doing household chores, while you're sitting on the train, driving in the car. Somebody just on Twitter yesterday said, I got my new car. It's got Bluetooth, and now I can pop on the PW Torch livecast and play through my car speakers without having to fumble around with other connections and other things. Podcasting's huge, and we super serve our audience who love our brand of wrestling coverage. We are not looking for an attaboy on Twitter from Triple H. You'll notice that's it's different than us about us and a lot of people. We're not trying to have an in with a company. We're not trying to get the next big name interview to give us 12 minutes of their time to talk about the next pay-per-view. We're here to try to figure out what's working and what's not, unfiltered, without any concern with what WWE thinks about what we say, or frankly, any promoter thinks about what we say. And we try to be honest and serve our readers first and foremost. Not our goal of being able to brag about official access with WWE and all that. So anyway, it comes across. I think if you like our brand of wrestling coverage, I think you'd like to immerse yourself in our brand of wrestling podcasting and the exclusive articles like I just talked about. It's not just podcasts. Our VIP website that's ad-free includes VIP exclusive columns. Greg Parks and Bruce Mitchell will have new ones this week. My end notes, our pay-per-view roundtable reviews. There's a lot of exclusive content that's written also that you can read on our AppLike ad-free mobile site. PWTorchVIP.com is our desktop site. That's also fantastic, where all the ads are on our regular site. Those go away and get replaced by VIP exclusive content. So check it out. Coupon code for the sale is $SALE17, all one word, no spaces, all lowercase, $SALE17. That gets you in the door for just $1. Take advantage of it. It's our first sale that we launched since last January. I don't think you'll regret it, and we make it easy for you. It takes 2 minutes to sign up, and we have a VIP tips page to orient you to everything that we have, so it's not too overwhelming, and you can take advantage of everything that we offer. One thing that we haven't talked about are the retro radio shows, and here's some details on those, an exclusive perk for VIP members. Every Thursday night, a new VIP retro radio show from the 90s and Attitude Era drops. Here are details on that. As a PW Torch Livecast listener, you've probably heard me talk about PW Torch VIP membership. One of the great perks about becoming a PW Torch VIP member at pwtorch.com/govip is access to vintage radio shows that are only available with a PW Torch VIP membership. The entire run of the Pro Wrestling Focus radio show that I hosted on KFAN in the early 1990s, over 100 episodes, available when you sign up instantly. Also, on an ongoing basis, we're adding more Pro Wrestling Spotlight radio shows hosted by John Arezzi in New York, which ran from the late 80s through the mid-1990s. These shows have not been heard since they aired originally on New York radio, and VIP members have access to listen to them exclusively as part of their VIP membership. Also, Total Chaos Radio, hosted by PW Torch Livecast Saturday Morning Wrestling host Jim Valley during the Attitude Era, are also part of a VIP membership, new ones added on a regular basis. These vintage classic radio shows with big-name interviews, guest analysts, including me, on a regular basis talking about the news of the day with the hosts, are accessible when you become a VIP member through our ad-free VIP website. You can stream them right on your phone or right on your computer, but also an RSS feed that is accessible only for VIP members via popular apps on iPhone, Android, and even iTunes. Check it out. It's a big perk that comes with a VIP membership. Get details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Have a blast listening to familiar voices from this live cast talk about wrestling from the 1990s through the Attitude Era exclusively as a PW Torch VIP member. Follow me on Twitter at TheWadeKeller. Follow our brand at PW Torch, our sister brand at MMA Torch, and our podcast website at PW Podcasts, featuring written recaps and newsworthy quotes from the wrestling podcast universe. That's PW Podcasts on Twitter and pwpodcast.com on the web. Thanks again to Johnny Fairplay. And we look forward to talking to Justin Credible tomorrow on Interview Thursday at 1 Eastern, 10 Pacific. And if you missed it, check out Mike Chiari from Ring Rust Radio as my guest co-host for the post-SmackDown show last night, and Pat McNeil, longtime Torch columnist, host of the Wayback Playback VIP audio show on the post-Raw episode of the livecast earlier this week. And if you missed it, Stone Cold Steve Austin was my guest for an hour and a half last Thursday. You can check that out on the podcast feed or at pwtorchlivecast.com. Support us on Twitter. Excuse me, support us on when you shop Amazon. Just go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. Anytime you're about to type amazon.com, stop and think of throwing some support our way. All you have to do is go to pwtorch.com/Amazon and click on the link and shop as you would anyway. But that extra click sends a message to Amazon that we sent you, and we get a commission, and it adds up, and it helps support what we do here at the Torch. So I appreciate those of you who do that every day. Some of you are doing that, and it really is appreciated. And we'd love for you to consider doing that also, pwtorch.com/Amazon. That does it for me for today on the livecast, but I'll be by later with the Wade Keller Hotline and also The Fix with Todd Martin for VIP members. So you can look forward to that later on. And until then, or tomorrow for livecast listeners, this is Wade Keller signing off.